as a climate. But I think that there's probably a lot more to what I want to say to you this morning. And I couch it in mostly the words, thoughts, and writings of a particular author who I found recently, heard about first on NPR during one of my numerous driving trips. The author is Diane Butler Bass. She's most recently written the book and been interviewed extensively by the book, titled The End of Church and the Birth of a New Spiritual Awakening. Now, it seemed to me awfully appropriate to share this with you. Some of you, I think, perhaps are familiar with this development. But it helps me, hearing this, and I hope it helps you, to see where each one of us that has come to the Unitarian Universalist community, where our community of fellow seekers here this morning and members of our congregation, and where the larger Unitarian Universalist Fellowship Association is and fits in the larger landscape of our country, much less the world. There's some very interesting things going on across the country as it relates to religion and spirituality. And I think these words will mean a lot to every one of us. And as I share with you what I've read and understood, I want you to keep in mind the seven principles that guide Unitarian Universalism, because I think it'll be intriguing to each one of you to hear what I'm about to say in the context of those principles. So, here we go. A new age of reformation. The data is clear. Religious affiliation is plummeting across the breadth of Christian denominations. And yet, interest in spirituality is on the rise. So what is behind the sea change in American religion? With the same comprehensive research and insider reporting that has made her previous book, Christianity for the Rest of Us, an indispensable guide to cultivating thriving churches, Diana Butler Ross offers a fresh interpretation of the spiritual, but not religious, trend. Bass, who spent her career teaching the history, culture, and politics of religion, and engaging church communities across the nation, brings forth a deep knowledge of the latest national studies and polls, along with her own groundbreaking analysis, as she seeks to fully comprehend this decline in Christian attendance and affiliation that started decades ago and has increased exponentially in recent years. Some contend that we're undergoing yet another evangelical revival. Others suggest that Christian belief and practice is eroding entirely as traditional forms of faith are replaced by new ethics and a-religious choices. But Bass argues compellingly that we are instead at a critical stage in a completely new spiritual awakening, a vast interreligious progression towards individual and cultural transformation, and a wholly new kind of post-religious faith. Offering direction and hope to individuals and churches, Bass' call to approach faith with a newfound freedom that is both life-giving and service-driven. Again, those words. And it is a hope-filled plea to see and participate in creating a fresh, vital, contemporary way of faith that stays true to the real message of Jesus. So, some of this will perhaps repeat a bit of what I said, but I think it continues to frame it in the context that I want you to hear it. Something startling is happening in American religion. We are witnessing the end of the church, at the very least, the end of conventional church. The United States is fast becoming a society where Christianity is being reorganized after religion. In recent decades, untold numbers of people have left the Roman Catholic Church. In a 2008 survey, Pew Research found that 1 in 10 Americans now considers themselves an ex-Catholic. The situation is so dire that the church launched a PR campaign inviting Catholics to come home, to woo back disgruntled members. There was a slight uptick in Catholic membership that year, mostly due to immigrant Catholics. There's no data indicating that Catholics are returning en masse, and much anecdotal evidence suggesting that leave-taking continues. Catholic leaders worry that once the new immigrants become fully part of American society, they might leave too. The end of church, however, is not merely a Catholic problem. For decades, mainline Protestants have watched helplessly as their memberships decline, employing program after program to stop that decline. In the last 15 years, conservative Protestant denominations have witnessed significant erosions in membership, money, and participation, with some of the greatest drops in groups like the Southern Baptist Convention that once seemed impervious to decline. In a typical week, less than a quarter of Americans attend a religious service, down from the half of the population who were regular churchgoers a mere generation ago. There are successful individual congregations, Catholic or Protestant, mainline or evangelical, liberal or conservative, small or large, everywhere. But the institutional structure of American religion, denominations of all theological sorts, are in freefall. The religious market collapse has happened with astonishing speed. In 1999, when survey takers asked Americans, "Do you consider yourself spiritual or religious?" A solid majority of 54% responded that they were religious, but not spiritual. By 2009, 10 years later, only 9% instead of 54% of Americans responded that way. In 10 years, those willing to identify themselves primarily as religious plummeted by 45%. In the last decade, the word religion has become acquainted with institutional or organized religion. Because of crises such as the September 11th terrorist attacks and the Roman Catholic abuse scandal, Americans now define religion in almost exclusively negative terms. These larger events, especially when combined with increasingly irrelevance of too much organized religion, contributed to an overall decline in church membership and an overall decline of the number of Christians in the United States. But don't despair. There may be hope, however, regarding the future of faith. Despite worry about the word religion, Americans are extremely warm toward spiritual, but not religious, 30%. And even more interestingly, and perhaps paradoxically, the term spiritual and religion, 48%. While religion means institutional religion, spirituality means an experience of faith. Large numbers of Americans are hankering for experiential faith whereby they can connect with God, the divine, or wonder as well as with their neighbors, and that lead to a more profound sense of meaning in the world. Maybe Americans once called this religion, but no more. Americans call it spirituality. Some Americans want to be spiritually left alone, without complications from organized religion. But nearly half of Americans appear to hope for a spiritual reformation, or even revolution, in their faith traditions and denominations. Congregations that exhibit a vibrant spiritual life embody a living faith in a practicing way to succeed, even in this religious bear market. These sorts of communities are models of what might be possible to renew wearied organizations. But the macrostructure of American faith, denominations have yet to hear this message. They are still trying to fix institutional problems and flex political muscle instead of tending to the spiritual longings of Americans. Spiritual and religious expresses a grassroots desire for new kinds of faith communities where institutional structures do not inhibit or impede one's relationship with God or neighbor. Americans are searching for churches and temples, synagogues, and mosques that are not caught up in political intrigue, rigid rules and prohibitions, institutional maintenance, unresponsive authorities, and inflexible dogmas, but instead offer pathways of life-giving spiritual experience, connection, meaning, vocation, and doing justice in the world. Americans are not rejecting faith. They are, however, rejecting self-serving institutions. The unconventional church isn't necessarily a bad thing. Christianity after religion, a faith renewed by the experience of God's Spirit, is closer to what Jesus hoped for all his followers than the scandalous divisions, politics, and enmity we have now. Will there still be Christianity after the end of institutional religion? Yes, there will be. But it is going to be different than what Americans have known. A faith responsive to the longings of those who are expecting more spiritual depth and greater ethical integrity rather than the more conventional church. Indeed, I suspect that the end of church is only the beginning of a great awakening. If you'll indulge me, I'd like last to read these opening words directly from Professor Bass's book titled The End of Church and the Birth of a New Spiritual Awakening. And I hope as you heard her words, you heard her choice of words that come directly from our seven principles: ethics, compassion, spirituality, the roots of our community are in the same soil that she sees this larger spiritual awakening springing from here in our country and in our society. So from her book, these several paragraphs. Strange as it may seem in this time of cultural anxiety, economic near collapse, terrorist fear, political violence, environmental crisis, and partisan anger, I believe that the United States, and not only the United States, is caught up in the throes of a spiritual awakening, a period of sustained religious and political transformation during which our ways of seeing the world, understanding ourselves, and expressing faith are being, to borrow a phrase, born again. Indeed, the shift around religion contributes to that anxiety, even as anxiety gives rise to new sorts of understanding of God and the spiritual life. Fear and confusion signals change. This transformation is what some people hope will be a great turning toward global community based in shared human connection, dedicated to the care of our planet, committed to justice and equity, and seeking to raise hundreds of millions from poverty and oppression. This awakening has been underway for some time and has reached a crucial stage as a new age of the Spirit has dawned. Theologian Harvey Cox points out that this turn towards spirituality as the new form of faith started in the last century. The 1970s were a significant period in a long process of moving away from old-style religion toward new patterns of faith. In the last decade,
This shift has accelerated exponentially, sweeping millions more into both discontent and longing for change. Exponential change creates exponential fear along with exponential hope. Times of change create the double-edged cultural sword of decline and renewal. Exponential change ends those things that people once assumed and trusted to be true. At the same time, fast-paced change opens new pathways to the future. Change is about endings and beginnings and the necessary interrelationship between the two. Most people accept that technology, politics, and social conditions change, but many also think that religion will shield them from consequences of change in their secular arenas. Others think that a return to the faith of our fathers will slow or stop worrisome or unwanted social change. Neither of these perspectives is true. Faith is swept up in the waves of global change as every aspect of human experience is undergoing profound rearrangement. In some arenas of contemporary life, religion is actually leading other sorts of change. Religion rarely protects people from change. Perhaps a call to return to older forms of faith may delay change only. However, in the way that Roman persecutions slowed the spread of Christianity, or late medieval inquisitions turned back the advance of Protestantism, history teaches that the faith of our fathers may have won some battles, but has lost many a war. Is there a better way to understand change and faith in these days when the ground seems so unsteady beneath us? Religion, faith, spiritual experience, church, theology, all these are holy things, ways of being in relationship to God. Yet they all exist in the context of the world, equally as dependent on the vicissitudes of human experience as any surety of divine revelation. Religious expression is not immutable. It changes all the time. Faith roils along with the rest of the new global pressures. Christianity is no exception to this historical transformation. And to view faith as either irrelevant, to or outside of the pure view of global change is foolish. In my book, Christianity After Religion, I am concerned with religion and changes on specifically how Christianity, especially Christianity in the United States, is changing and how people are questioning older patterns of faith and belief. At the outset, to be perfectly clear, I do not think it is wise to adapt religion to contemporary tastes willy-nilly. As the gloomy 19th century Anglican dean William Inge once said, "Whoever marries the spirit of this age will find himself a widower in the next." I do, however, think it is exceedingly wise for faithful people to intentionally engage emerging religious questions in order to reform, renew, and reimagine ancient traditions in ways that make sense to contemporary people. The 1970s were the beginning of the end of older forms of Christianity, and these decades later, we are witnessing the end of the beginning. What follows is a sustained reflection on how religion has changed in our lifetimes, lives, life lived between the beginning of an end and the end of that beginning, and what that means for Christian faith and practice. Much has changed. Where Christianity is now vital, it is not really seen as a religion anymore. It is more of a spiritual faith.